I'm glad we didn't cancel tonight. That's all I have to say. So many churches I noticed on the news this afternoon while I was watching some things were canceling things. And I talked with Pastor T, man. He said, no, we're going to have it. So I was stoked about that. And I just want to say thank you to him, Britt, the team, for being here and allowing me to have this time with you. I really have been looking forward to it since we planned it last year, and it's just good to be back. Really good. I got a verse. Steve's going to help me. I just want to read it for you. It's a portion of this 12th verse that I want to pray. No, don't be, man. It's all good. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah. We're kind of used to the phones, aren't we? Here it is. He that believeth on me, is Jesus talking. The works that I do shall he or she do also, and greater works than these shall he or she do. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Even our songs tonight were so amazing. You do make us brave. I love what Britt said. It wasn't so much about being powerful as it was being fearless and willing to believe you. It takes real bravery to believe you. It takes real courage to trust you. It takes someone unique and special to stand out in a world and to acknowledge how great you are. I believe tonight I'm talking to that group of people. Young men and women set to change the world. History makers. Let it be written over this generation. These were those that turned the world upside down. That your name would be great and glorified. That I believe. Do something in our hearts tonight. Me and my heart, our hearts, their hearts. Give us the strength to step up and believe like we've never believed before. No matter where we are, no matter how much we believe, even me. That we would see you and stand in awe of who you are. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. This was his final night. He just finished the Last Supper. We know his Last Supper. And he's heading down through the Kidron Valley up to a little olive grove called Gethsemane. I'm going to come back here in a moment. But I've got to take us tonight way back in history. Way back. I've got to begin in the beginning. You see, there was a time when there was nothing. Everything that we see, there was nothing. There was no creation. There was only God, and he was in three persons, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They lived in eternity, the three of them, and they shared something that the world had never or could ever believe. They created all that is invisible. In the invisible, though many can't see it, our thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. They spoke all the angels into existence. They simply spoke. I mean, it's amazing to me. It was the dream of the Father, and the Word spoke it. That's why he was known as the Word, this one who comes known as Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God would form everything in the invisible. Then they spoke into the visible. Everything that we see, every universe, every solar system, they keep finding them. All the planets, he created them just by speaking. He spoke the sun into existence. And he spoke over the sun that it would rise and it would set, and over the waves and over the oceans, all of the seas, everything that we see, even the seasons, he spoke them into existence. He began to create, and he created man. Of course, Adam was the beginning of his creation, and out of him came Eve. From Adam and Eve, even when they left the garden, their son Abel, to Enoch, even to Noah, almost 1,000 years of generations, yet the world did not know who he was. Oh, the stories, they were oral stories, were passed down about a God who created things. And It almost got to be forgotten by the time Noah comes. You know, our Bible's beautiful that the earth was filled with violence in Noah's day. And it's the first time that this unknown God looked into the earth and he found a man. His name is Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he spoke to Noah. Noah built something. It would be the first time that something from God was built in the earth, and Noah built an ark. You know the story, and the floods came and it ended all of the violence. It was over. Thank you. I was wondering what she was doing. Getting me nervous. Maybe I had a little piece of lettuce stuck in my tooth or something. After Noah would come a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was the beginning of something that was always in the heart of this yet invisible God. Abraham lived in the Ur of Chaldees, and he called him out. Abraham began something that the world had never known before. And this Abraham, he was now representative of this invisible God, this unknown God, this unseen God. You see, all the nations of the world up to this point had gods. They had many gods. Abraham now, who was his family made gods, now became the representative of this invisible God. And this God told Abraham that he was God Almighty. The amazing thing is nobody had ever seen him. Nobody had ever known him before. Abraham told his son Isaac about this God. Isaac told his son Jacob. Jacob told his son Joseph. And here were these generations, 5, 6, 7 generations of people of God who told their children and even their friends and their neighbors that they were people of this God. They were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the God of the universe was their God. But even his friends would say, "Who is your God?" And he'd point to the heavens and he'd say, "The only great God." And everybody would look at him and say, "We've never seen him. We don't even know who he is. We don't even know if he exists." That God, our God, told Abraham that his seed would go into a strange land. It would be Egypt. I want you to know something about Egypt at this time period. They were the greatest nation the world had ever seen before. All of the wealth of the world had come to Egypt. There was such a famine in the land, in the entire world, that people brought their gold and their silver to buy simply wheat and barley that they could plant it in their grounds. They brought their precious jewels. All of it came to Egypt. During this time period, the Egyptians built things that we still see today that our scientists, with our technology, can't understand how they built them. They were that demonically influenced in this day. Well, the people of God, Abraham's descendants, they came to Egypt with their father Jacob, only 70 of them. You see, he told Abraham that your people would be in a strange land for 400 years, but then they would come out with great wealth. Abraham had no idea, but this day came. Please hear me tonight. They came in as 70 people, and in 400 years, they were 600,000 men. They were slaves in Egypt. The Egyptians greatly oppressed them. They made them make all of their buildings out of brick that they had to make with straw and mud. It got so bad that they, for 6 days, sometimes 7 days, they worked from sun up to sun down. It became so difficult. The Egyptians treated them as slaves. Can you imagine the people whose God is the God of all gods is allowing and watching his children? They're slaves. That's why the Egyptians had over 100 gods. They looked at these Israelites, these people of God, and they laughed at them. They couldn't believe that they would actually believe their God. Well, it got so bad in Egypt for the children of God that they cried out to him. It's amazing to me, our history. They cried out to a God they had never seen before. They'd only heard stories of Abel and Enoch and Noah. They heard stories of him, but they'd never seen him before. They had never known him. He had never shown himself. They didn't know if he even cared. They didn't know if he could deliver them. They didn't know if he could stand up against the might and power of the Egyptians and all of their gods. The Egyptians feared nobody. They were the greatest nation in the world at this time. Pharaoh, had 600 iron chariots that he would use for war that were only for his chosen men. That didn't include the army that he had. They cried unto him. They had no weapons. They had no way to deliver themselves. Would he hear them? There was a man driven out by the name of Moses. And 40 years earlier, and Moses saw a bush burning. It wasn't being consumed, and Moses came to it. And this is the first time that Moses met this invisible God, this God of the creation, invisible and visible, this God who created everything that we see. He had not yet made himself known. And he said to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. Can you imagine this God who seems so distant, so far off? He heard the cry of his people as being slaves in this land called Egypt. And he said to Moses, I've come to deliver them. Moses had no idea what he was even talking about. And he started to talk to him. He says, you know, yeah, man, I don't know, it sounds good, but I'm telling you, man, Pharaoh's not into this deliverance thing, and I don't really know. And this is the strongest nation in the world. I don't want to go back there. I mean, they're the baddest people around. I mean, they're not afraid of anybody. Matter of fact, all the other nations are afraid of them. So I don't know what you're going to do. And this God begins to tell him something that I want you to hear. He said, I want you to tell my people something, Moses, because they need to hear it. Moses said, huh? He said, I want you to tell Pharaoh because he needs to hear it. And Moses said, oh, okay. And I want you to tell all Egypt. And Moses turned and says, what do you want me to tell him? You tell him that I am God Almighty. And Moses went back and told Pharaoh. He says, you need to let my people go because their God is going to deliver them. And Pharaoh looked at Moses and says, who is your God? I've never seen him. I don't know him. Even Moses didn't know. It would be the beginning of a demonstration of power the world had never seen before. Please hear me. Of all the gods that everyone believed and all the gods of all the nations had, they had never seen anything like this. He began by turning all of the water in Egypt to blood. You've got to know there was this place called Goshen. It's in the central side of where Egypt is. And when that water, all the people of God lived in Goshen, that water turned red. All the fish died. Everything in it began to die. This is one of their gods. And that water turned red, came up to the place right on the border of where the people of God were. And it immediately changed back to water. Even the Egyptians looked and they wondered. Even the people of God, they didn't know he could even deliver them. They had no idea who he was. And they were amazed at that. Pharaoh wasn't moved by it. So he brought frogs upon all the houses. You have to know when these plagues came, it wasn't two or three frogs. There were frogs on top of each other. They were in their homes, in their cupboards, in their beds. They were all around their children. They were around their animals. But I've got to tell you, those frogs heaped up all through Egypt. But not one frog crossed the line where the people of God were. Even the people of God were starting to think, yo. Pharaoh wouldn't budge. So he brought fleas upon all the people of Egypt. Then he brought mosquitoes. Can you imagine? They came in such droves, such waves, that they almost blotted out the sun. They were biting all the Egyptians. Not one flea crossed that border. Still, Pharaoh wouldn't move, even though the Egyptians were crying out to him because of what was happening in their land. The other nations of the world were beginning to hear about the God of the people of God, the children of Israel. They were going to hear about this God who they did not think existed. Even the people of God were really sure he really could be this awesome. They didn't know. So Pharaoh wouldn't move. So he brought a plague upon all the men. They were all boils. All the men had boils upon them, all the Egyptian men. That didn't budge. So he brought them all upon all the animals. Every animal was crying out. Can you imagine? The men are crying out. The beasts are crying out. But Pharaoh still wouldn't budge. So he brought hail, came down, and destroyed all of their crops. Everything that was green was destroyed. Pharaoh still wouldn't budge. Can you imagine this God is controlling nature this way? I'm still in awe of it. The most powerful nation in the world is facing this by this invisible, unseen God. Pharaoh wouldn't budge, so he brought locusts. We don't ever see locusts, but let me just tell you a little bit about them. They come, and it's been known throughout history, that they come in such swarms that they literally blot out the sun. They'll come to 2 to 3 feet deep. The locusts eat not just the leaves, not just the bark. They'll eat the leaves, the bark, the wood, and the root. So you've got to see this very moment. The people of God are standing in Goshen, simply amazed. They can see the locusts come. They're all over the Egyptians, all over the Egyptian land, up and down the Nile. But not one locust crosses this border. They're sitting here, and not one flea, not one tick, there's not one mosquito, there's not one locust here, not one bit of hail came across this border. They began to look at each other, wondering, who is this God? Pharaoh wouldn't move, even though everything was destroyed. You've got to stand right now with me and look around. Everything in Egypt, there's not one green thing. There's nothing living. There's nothing. The beasts are all crying out. The men are crying out. Pharaoh still wouldn't budge. So the Lord, the ninth plague, was he brought darkness upon all the land. 3 days it was dark in Egypt, and 3 days the sun rose and set upon the children of God. Amazing. The Egyptians could not believe this. The final one was the death of the firstborn. 10 plagues. When the spies come to Jericho and talk to Rahab, Rahab will say to them, yo, man, we heard about what your God did to the Egyptians in Bog and Bashan. We heard about it. There's the hearing about it. Our hearts melted. Even our most mighty men, their hearts melted. Pharaoh finally said, get out! Listen, not a sword, not a spear, not a knife, not a gun, nothing. They didn't even fight. And the Egyptians said, go, get out. The people of God were like, what? Leave? Are you kidding me? They were high-fiving each other and going, yo, who is this God? They began to, there was the New York Israelite. They were really banging. But then there was the South Carolina ones. They kind of walked out like this. Yeah. There was Travis's family came out. They had to be, they all had to be, because Brittany's family was helping them. No. Come on. No. All of a sudden, Pharaoh kind of woke up. And so he said, I want you to set my mightiest men upon my 600 chariots. You see, the children of Israel were just kind of walking. They were leaving. They didn't know where they were going. Man, they just thought they were going, man. We're free. But they came up to the Red Sea. You have to know the Red Sea is in some places 100 miles wide, in some places 14 miles wide. It was impassable. They all came up to it. 600,000 men. Listen, 1.2 million people. That is all of Richmond, all the way down to Petersburg down here. All this whole area, that's the size of the people moving. They got to that. They looked back and Pharaoh's chariots were coming this way toward them. They looked at Moses. Moses didn't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to Moses. And he said, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of my God. Are you kidding me? Stand still. All of a sudden, a cloud comes out of the sky. Listen, a cloud comes out. One side of it is fire, and the other side of it's darkness, and the cloud sits between the 600 chariots and the people of God. They too looked at each other in awe. No one had ever, there wasn't even a story like this. That whole night, it sat there. Well, this invisible God released the east wind, and that wind blew all night long. It blew that Red Sea open. You know the story. I'm just telling you stories you know. Because I want us tonight to know just how awesome this invisible God was. And they didn't even know it. They will wake up the next morning and they'll walk through that water, that Red Sea, up on one side, up on the other side. And 600,000 men, not including women and children, probably 1.3, 1.2, some say up to 2 million, will walk across this thing. And they'll come to the other side, and Pharaoh will chase them, and that water will close down upon Pharaoh. For 40 years, these people will be in the desert. You have to know this about the Sinai. It gets to be 120 degrees at night. Every day, a cloud covered them. Think about Richmond, the Petersburg, all around. A cloud covered them all day long. At night, it gets down to 30 degrees, sometimes 20 degrees Fahrenheit, that cold in the Sinai Peninsula, And he had a pillar of fire on one corner of this huge camp, and it heated all those people. 40 years. 6 out of 7 days, out of the heavens came manna. He brought water out of a rock. A rock. There's no water in the wilderness. It's a desert. Moses hit a rock, and that water poured out, and they drank out of a rock. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. I got to ask you, who is this God? They will come to Jericho. Joshua will. Joshua's 80 years old. Jericho's walls, they will say, I've been there. I saw them. I asked the architect, what are you doing? He says, we're doing a little research here. I said, really? Why? Well, because we don't understand something. I said, really? What is it? Well, you wouldn't understand. And I said, well, I might. Just tell me, is it, you know, because I heard a story once that the walls were wide enough that there could be 3 to 6 chariots that could go across these walls and people lived in them. Is that right? He said, yeah, it appears that way. I said, well, what's the problem? He goes, well, it's the way the walls came down. I said, really? I said, I remember the story. I think that the story is that the children of Israel. I said, is that right? He goes, well, that's the story I hear. I said, they did it 7 days in a row. Yeah, he said, yeah, that's the story we hear. But we're architects, we're archaeologists. We need to see some proof. And I says, well, what happened and what's the problem here? He says, well, you see, the walls didn't fall down or out. They fell in. I said, they did. I said to him, is there something wrong with that? He turned up and he goes, yeah, it's impossible. I just kind of did this little bit with my white boy face. I said, yeah, it's impossible. I know. And I just stepped back and I said to him, hey, who is this God? I want you to know Joshua was fighting the 5 kings of the Amorites. And he was watching the battle, and they weren't winning it. And time was running out. So Joshua walked away, and he prayed unto this God who no one knew. He prayed unto this God of the Israelites. He prayed unto his God, this God who created everything. And his prayer was, let the sun stay still and the moon not move. And you know what? Oh, I'm glad I'm from the Northeast because we have Harvard and Yale and MIT, and I love those schools. But I got to tell you, they just recently proved that there's one day missing out of time. And they've acknowledged that it was during this moment. Yo, I got to ask you something. A man prays and God stops the sun and stops the moon? Who can do such a thing? I've got to ask you one more time. Who is this God? Let me just stop for Elijah just for a moment. Imagine Elijah will raise a young man from the dead. A young boy will die, and Elijah will pray, and he'll be raised from the dead. His predecessor, Elisha, he will raise a young man from the dead too. The Syrian army will come for Elisha. Think about it. They encircled Elisha's little town called Dothan, and they came against him, and Elisha spoke and said, be blind. I thought maybe he should go get a gun, a knife, a bazooka. He should call somebody, call 911. No, man, Elisha knew, yo, is there anyone like you? There's a few years have gone by, and Babylon rules the world. King Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to know, is one of the greatest conquerors, probably one of the top 5 in history of a conquering nation. The writers will write that the Babylonians feared no king or princess. When they would come up, their horses were more ravaging than the evening wolves. They were ferocious, ferocious conquerors. Well, they took 3 of our friends, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 4 of them. They took them from their homes at 15 years old. They were slaves in Babylon. 20 years from that day, Nebuchadnezzar decides he's going to build a golden image. And He's going to put a fiery furnace out in the plains of Babylon. And he will announce to all the nations that he has conquered, including the Jews. Yeah, the Jews who once thought this awesome God was awesome. And he said, everybody's bowing. When you hear the music sound, you bow. And they all bow. Except three. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Your friends must have gone, everybody else is doing it. What's wrong with you? And anyways, where is this God that we heard about? Here we are, slaves. Here we have been taken from our family. I mean, who's going to believe him? Maybe he had a history once. Maybe he did great things once. But where has he been now? Where has he been in my life? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't listen to that. And so Nebuchadnezzar heard about it. He brought them. And he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yo, you're going to bow or you're going into a fiery furnace? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, dude, you know, man, the fiery furnace is scary, but we're not bowing. And this God, you know, that you don't know, he can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow.
What? Wow.
Yeah. We sang about that, I think, about making us brave. There it is. Well, they tied him up and they carried him into the fire furnace. Nebuchadnezzar had his mightiest men throw them in. I want you to know this fire was so hot, so stoked up, that it incinerated the men. Sometimes I wonder, just how awesome are you? I wonder. Is it true? Is there no God like you? Well, Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire. You know the story. And he looked in, and that fire was blazing. And those three young men were standing up in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar himself will say, the fire does not hurt them. All the world is watching. These three had something. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he said to his Chaldean servant, there's a fourth one in there. He looks like the Son of God. I'm thinking, when I first read it, I thought, what? Are you kidding me? Jesus, who hasn't shown up yet, he's there? I want to know, man. Are you kidding me? Who is this God? I'm going to tell you who he is. He is our God. They came walking out of that fiery furnace. Not even smell of smoke was on him. Nebuchadnezzar will stand up. Yeah, I'm wondering, how do we convince a king or a president or a ruler? How do we convince them that our God, he is great? How do you do it? I wonder, how do you do it? Nebuchadnezzar will stand up and he'll announce to everybody, all of his nation, the greatest conqueror at that time. And he'll say, I've got to tell you right now, there's no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's none like him. They'll throw Daniel in the lion's den. He'll be 80 years old. They told him to stop praying. He said, yo, I got to pray. No, you stop praying or you're going in the lion's den. I got to pray. Right. They threw him in. They were hungry. I've heard people say, well, they weren't that hungry. They never finished the story. When Daniel came out, they threw in the people who blamed him. And those lions ate them to their bone. They were hungry. But someone came and shut the mouth of the lion. Yo, young lady, young man, I got to ask you. Who is this God? It would be 500 years. The people of God would not see anything from Daniel's day. 500 years until this moment of Jesus' final night. You see, they had not seen a miracle. They had not seen a power. It was really just stories to them. Even the ones I'm telling you tonight, they were just stories. They were stories about the God. They had no idea
of his passion and his power and his long desire. They had no idea. They thought he was angry. They thought he was sick and tired of people. They thought that he had been silenced because he wasn't interested. Oh, no, they had no idea.
They had no idea. He came a beginning of something the world had never seen before. He was the beginning of something that was always in the heart of God. They will say about him, when they looked into his face, they beheld God. They would look into his eyes, and there would be a love and a passion there. They recorded 30 of his miracles. He would raise 3 from the dead. The Ebola of his day, the AIDS of his day, he just spoke to it. Leprosy, it was incurable, and it was highly contagious. It made your skin white. They would quarantine lepers, and lepers would come to him, and people would run or go to stone them, and he would speak to the leprosy. He did power demonstrations and the miraculous like no man had ever done it. You see, even though it was great in Moses' day, what power? I want you to know, he had greater power. Amazing what Joshua did. He was greater. Elisha, Shadrach, Meshach, Daniel, all of them. He was greater. The power was the greatest the world had ever seen. He would take bread, break it, and feed 5,000, 4,000 men alone, as many as 9,000 from some bread and some fish. He multiplied it. He spoke to the winds, and the wind ceased. He cast out every demonic spirit, every devil. He wasn't moved by Rome. He wasn't moved by government. He was someone who came to represent this one that was invisible. You see, what they thought, though, was he was the one and only. They didn't realize that he was going to be the first. And the plan of God was in every generation, there would be many just like him. They saw women who were bleeding their whole life touch him and miraculously healed. They saw men who were paraplegics. I have friends and family members who have broken their neck. And I'm watching them. He would touch them, speak to them, and they would walk again. His disciples were following him that last night. They were a little discouraged because they had been arguing about which one of them was greatest. And he stopped and he turned to them. He said, you know the works I've done? Do you know all the things I've done, the miraculous things? And they looked at him and said, yeah, you're amazing. There's no one like you. You're unbelievable. Man, I've never seen anything like this. These stories would go on forever. And he said, no. You don't get it. I've come to do these things because you're going to do them. Man, they had their heads down like this. They're like, huh? Did you hear what he said? We're going to raise the dead, cast out. We can break bread. We're here to do what you did. Us? We thought you were somebody separate from us. He goes, no. I've come so that you know what I did, you're going to do. They started to kind of jump up and go, yeah. Not you, Thomas. You don't believe anything. Even Thomas was going like, well, I don't know. I might be able to do a couple things. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not doubting so much now. But then he took a couple more steps, and he blew their minds. Blows my mind even now. Freaks me out. He turned and he said to them, but here's what I want you to understand. I'm sure he walked back a little bit because they couldn't believe it. He said, here's what I want you to understand. You're going to do greater things than I've done. And even now when I listen to it, and I read it, and I mean, even now, I'm not just saying this to you. I'm listening to what I'm saying. They must have stepped back and said, what? Man, there's been nothing greater than this. They didn't realize it was always in the heart of God was that a day would come that every generation from that day forward would believe that they were set in their world and their generation to turn it upside down. That out of our lives, oh, I know what we think. Oh, out of Pastor Travis Brady, or maybe out of Dr. J's life. Oh, no. Out of your life. He wants the world to know that he is awe. I want you to know, who is this unbelievable God? No, he is our God. And he has come to release within you and I a power that's greater than anything a man could build, greater than any nation's threats, greater than any diseases. I have a lot of doctor friends who are always really nervous. I love my doctor friends, but I do tell them, I said, yo, listen, you're practicing. It's a practice. You're trying, and they'll come to me, the honest ones, some of the great surgeons of our day that I know, they're my friends, and they'll say to me, Dr. J, look, we're really nervous. And I say, what? Well, we got these diseases coming out. We haven't even named them yet. I said, yo, chill. I don't say it like that. I do it more like, okay, tell me. But what I really mean is, chill, yo, chill. Then I have to prove that I got my PhD because they don't believe it because I talk like that. Listen, I say to them this, don't you worry about it. Once you name it, there's no name above the name of Jesus Christ. Not one name. Every name bows to his name. Every disease bows to his name. Everything bows to his name. I want you to know this evening, young people, that the Lord has come to strengthen you and I, that you would walk in an assurance that God wants to work in your life and through your life with a demonstration of his power, a manifestation of his character and of his person, that you and I are here representing him. There are no limitations. Please understand this. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what your parents tell you. My parents raised me with limitations. The day that I got Jesus Christ in my life, the limitations were off. Don't tell me how old I am. Don't tell me what we can't do. Don't tell me what's impossible. Don't talk to me about the money. It's not where we live. I love our nation. I love our president. I love where we are. I love the people and the people of God. But I've got to tell you, he has set you and I in the earth, that out of us will come a power that will shake and turn the world upside down, that he might be glorified again. He is our God. All we have to do is believe him. If you need healing tonight, you have allergies, issues, especially with the middle part of the back, hip areas, also both knees, both knees, both on inside and outside of both knees, but you need healing in your body. He came and has given you and I this kingdom. All he's asking for us is to simply believe. I got to tell you, he wants to do something the world has never seen in and through you and me, us. Make us brave was a song. Oh, yeah, it takes some bravery. I do it easy, though. I'm in a lot of gyms. I like working out, so I'm in gyms all over the world. And so if I see a guy hurt, bottom of his shoulder, whatever, I'll say, what up? And then, yeah. I always say that he's got short sleeve shirts, nice arms, right away. I'm his friend. Dude, your arms look good. I said, is that a shoulder bothering you? Now, there's things I know about people. You know that. Shoulder bothering you? Yeah. I said, look here, man. Yeah, let me see. He said, in Jesus' name, be healed. Just walk away, do my set. Yeah, that's it. That's it. No lecture. You need to stop your life. No. No, come on. Let's do this thing. Come on now. Let's do it. Let's do it. If you need healing, asthma, headaches, especially if you have allergies that have been passed down from your family, or if you deal with migraines or headaches like that, anything at all, your heart's broken, right now, it's broken over family issues. I'm not going to ask Noah to say anything. I want you to stand. We're going to believe God to begin here with you as young people for him to release the miraculous power in your life. Stand. If you need healing, stand. Any elbow, shoulder. My shoulder's been bothering me, so somebody's got to hit me over here. This one's been aching me for a while now. I fell on my head while I was in Taiwan, walking on my hands, pinched the nerve in my back. I haven't told anybody that. Yeah, I was walking on my hands at a restaurant. I shouldn't have done that. The floor was slippery, so I slipped and knocked myself right out on my head. Yeah, and so I couldn't bench, if you guys know, for a whole year. My left side had no strength to it. So it's back pretty much now, but it's still pain. Anyways, that's why when you have a head this size, you can't help but to bump it. Yeah. My wife won't let me walk on my hands anymore. She says I'm old. Old? Say what? Okay. You sure? Come on, stand. All right, my sister's standing good. All right, let's you turn around and lay your hands upon the people standing. You don't have to ask them anything. We're just going to believe for healing. Beautiful. I got this. How about your mom, dad, grandfather, grandmother, somebody you love really needs the Lord to touch them. If you want to stand for that, you can. How about for another family member? Did you hear what I said? Good. Beautiful. All right, you ready? It's going to be quick. It's that simple. The same thing they do. We're just going to touch them and say, listen, man, be healed. That's all. We're not little Jesuses. We are his body. He wants to demonstrate himself in power in us. All right, you ready? In the name of Jesus, just say it. Come on, if you've never said it before, just say in Jesus' name. Say this. Say it your way. Yo, yo, in the big guy's name. In the big dude. Yeah, the awesome one. Come on. In Jesus' name, be healed. Yeah, that's it. Good. Beautiful. Yeah, yes. In the name of Jesus. Beautiful. Be healed. She can't play the guitar much better than that, so you can't play the guitar much better than that. In Jesus' name. Good? Yeah? Good. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. Beautiful. We're good, right? Wonderful. Okay, just got to relax for a second, okay? Why don't you all stand for a minute, and I can sit you right back down. These are nice chairs, but after 45 minutes, everything hurts. You know, especially one spot. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Beautiful. So I want to ask you, just before I sit down. Good. Wow. That's all right. She did good holding that. All right, could you just answer me the one question? Who is this God? He is our God. All right, good. You may be seated. Thanks. Beautiful. Great. Amen. So my young sister here that stood up loved the hair, but I like everybody's hair. I do. That hair would look good on me. It would, man. Shoot, I could really be banging up front, because when I do this, it doesn't really mean much. With that, it'd be good. A couple of things I just want to encourage you. Okay, listen. The Lord is really going to begin moving into your family life. Just making some adjustments that only He can do. Yes, it is. And, you know, I love this about you, though, because you got so much talent wrapped up in that little person. You really do. There's so much you could do. You're super creative. Poetry, writing, music, you know, and sometimes you just don't really know the right way, the way. Sometimes you just struggle with those things. All of us do in this room, including me. And what I need is the Lord, He comes in. Sometimes we think He comes into our lives to wreck everything, He comes into our lives to end the fun. The reality is that's not the reality. He comes in to be sure that every step and every place that we move to is exactly what is absolutely perfect for us. That's how He is. And so He's really drawn near to your life, especially to your home, to your family, to the whole dynamic within your household. And you're going to see the Lord beginning to make some adjustments for you. Listen, girl, you can really trust Him more than you ever thought you could. You can really believe in Him. He will make things happen. Even when the finances aren't there, even when it appears that things can happen because we're not part of this family, that family, we don't have the prestige, we don't have the wealth, we don't have the big name. I want you to know the Lord is able to make things happen. He created everything out of nothing. And my young sister, you trust Him and you'll see the Lord begin to adjust all these things. Just some of the pressures that are around your home, you'll just see the Lord make these changes for you. And just see this, the light, the peace, and the love return in ways that, in many ways, you haven't known ever in your life. You're just going to watch Him do these things. Just because He's got this thing for you, He has it for all of us, but especially for you, so that you'll really understand just how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. Just so you will know, it'll be without question. Yeah, I like that. That's good. My brother that was back here, standing next to me with his shoulders, remember? Yeah. Yeah, dude. That guy's a fat cat, that one. He is. He's cool. My young brother, though, you're right at this place of crossroad. Not just your age, and not just your place in school, but really in your life.
You know, so I'm not going to say anything that would embarrass anybody. This is simply to encourage you and encourage her or anyone else that I speak to. But the Lord is really drawn near. I love when I know that He's my rear guard, because in my life He's walked behind me. So I'm never afraid about what's coming behind me. I never am. I'm not afraid about the past. I'm not afraid about what might chase me from behind. And I like when He walks beside me. I like that. It's comforting. But there's nothing like when He turns and I see Him for who He is. That's been the greatest experience of my life, and continues to be the hunger of my life, that every time I want to see Him, that I might know Him. Not just by some word or some man's word or some book, but I want to know Him. He's the living God. And my young friend, He is really turning your direction. The Lord has such a plan for your future. You've always been a strong guy. You don't have a problem being independent. You don't have a problem walking alone. If nobody follows you, you'll just go where you think you need to go. You don't need all of that. He knows. He made you strong, just like a young Joshua, just like a young David. But He's really coming to make Himself known to you, that you would believe Him, that you would trust Him, because you're just at that place of uncertainty. You're just at that crossroad. Not that you disbelieve Him, but He's really been drawing you to a greater place of commitment to Him, a greater place of trusting Him, a greater place of willing to be His. And as I said to her, He doesn't come to make our life miserable. It's none of that. All that junk, that's religious garbage. It never was true. He never comes for that reason. If He does anything, man, He comes to make us dream. He comes to make us hope. He comes to make us believe in what's not possible to believe in. That's His history, man. And so He's coming to you and really going to cause you to see Him, that you might really know Him and that you'll trust Him. So that when you start making college decisions, when you start making future decisions, you'll be able to really be able to make them according to what the plan of God will be. Dude, it's what your grandmother and great-grandmother on your mother's side of that family were people who believed and people who prayed. And the Lord has held those words and held those prayers. And especially your great-grandmother really lived with a lot of sorrow, a lot of poverty, a lot of weakness. But I'll tell you what, she knew the greatest thing that a woman could ever leave as legacy was a prayer for her people, even before you were born, a prayer for all of her kids and grandkids to come. And dude, the Lord's come to answer that prayer out of your life and in your life. My sister here with the hair, I think you were playing back there. I'm pretty sure I loved it. I was watching you back there. I said, I love that hair too. Spoked up, you know what I mean? I don't know what you call that, but it's up there. I don't know what that is. It must have a term. Just out there. I like that. I do, but I like everybody's hair. I like this right here. I love this too. I think this hair would look good on me. Red hair. Yeah, just kind of poked out like that. Yeah, yours is beautiful. It isn't just music for you, though. You're really born to lead and to be a leader. That is really the destiny. And you've had this pressure. You got athletic skills, too. You got a kind of this across-the-board skill rack. You really do. Incredible. But really, it's to be a young woman of integrity, even though the circle around you, even in your neighborhood, that's not the way it all goes. That's not really your family DNA. It's not really your family line. The Lord really came in and captured you and brought you to Himself, that you would walk. This is the beautiful thing. I want you to hear this. He loves to do something in our lives that even when people look, they think, that'll never happen. And He's like, that's what I want to hear. He loves the impossible. He loves, and everybody says, she'll never, he'll never, there'll never be anything. He loves that person. Girl, He came for you that He would prove to those who know you His ability to make you His and to fulfill things that could not be possible. So please know this submission to Him isn't momentary. Don't be drawn away by anyone's words, by any wind. You're not that way, but don't let fame and opportunity be your God. He can do that in a moment. But let His heart and His desire and His love for you and His desire for you to be an example, not just in this group, but in your life, to His ability to make a woman free, but yet be His. He's doing that very thing in your life. Are you guys okay? Just give it up for those few people. All right, just see if it would break. Beautiful. Yeah, really nice. I like it. Good.
my young brother right here, so I don't know. You look a little old to be a teenager, but you still got the, you're much like that guy over there. You two should be friends. You really should. You got so much in common. But the Lord's hands upon you, my brother. It really is. I mean, it just is for you to be a part of young people. You're not just sitting here, but that's really the destiny of the Lord, is for you to speak, you just have this vibrancy. This will be your next 20-year period, 25-year period. You can do other things, but he's given you to the young generation. You just have this amazing... That guy's gifted over there. He really is, Pastor Travis. But you got this other skill set. You really are. You love the articulation of the word. He's kind of like... He's like wind and water. You're more like tree, more like rock. There's a strength and a stability that you have. You really are. And the Lord's... What he's built in you is this solidness. Built in you is this portion of Jesus Christ. He's known as cornerstone and headstone. And these two revelations of him, what they show is the house builder, the starting of the building and the finishing of the building. And though he's an architect, he is kind of a guy that says, here's the options for you, and he loves this array of things. You, the Lord, is really built to be a man that builds one step at a time, the floor, the foundation, the structure. And God has given you to this generation to pray for them, to believe for them, but he will strengthen you by the word of the Lord to believe not just for what I even said, the miraculous, but for God to use the generation that stands across from you, your generation, and down. You won't be so much with anyone upward, my old generation, my doubting friends and people who are my age, but your age and down, to see the Lord do something great. He'll be meticulous with you. He will, even now, you know this in your life, though. It's kind of like when you were younger, you couldn't get away with anything. You had to walk the straight and narrow. You just couldn't. It just seemed as though you'd get caught all the time. It just seemed as though no matter what happened, you would be trapped. So please know that the Lord is making sure that your word is a word that is full of integrity, that it's not a cloud without rain. It can never be. Not that you stand up and go, wow, look at me, how great I am. On the contrary, when the Lord works upon a man like that, the man walks humbly because he realizes that everything he has is the Lord's hand and the Lord's work. So your dream for the call of God and for the fulfillment of the will of God, the Lord has already set you on that course. He's setting you on that path. Even though he'll adjust you and make physical changes and plantings with you, you never have to worry about it. The Lord will unroot you and root you. You don't have to decide, well, I'm going to go. It'll happen. It'll be time for it. All these things will happen. But you must know, my brother, that the Lord is so graced you. Even now, as I'm talking to you, you know, his emotion's very difficult to define. But he has this passion, and it's this constant word coming inside of everything he's saying to me in regards to you, and I'm standing in regards to you, is that this is my son, this is my son, this is my son, this is my son. Listen, we're all sons and daughters, but it's a special thing when he utters it personally. We're never going to get out of the back row. Sorry about this. Yeah, you're an amazing young woman. You really are. I don't know why you're sitting back here, and it's okay. I'm fine with that. That doesn't matter much. But you really are. You know, this is kind of funny. All of us, if I go down every one of these rows, there's some things in every one of us, some of us that are in any one of these rows, in my life, in your life, in our lives, that there's more required out of us. I never liked that. I'm the oldest in my family, the oldest of four. It just seemed like no matter where I was, more was required. But I rebelled against that. I hated that. Until I got born again. It wasn't until I was 24 years old, 22 I got born again. By the time I was 24, I began to realize it isn't a responsibility, it was an honor. I didn't know that. So I kicked against it. That's what I'm saying to him, what an honor it is. And so my sister, listen, the Lord has come to greatly honor you by causing you to be greatly responsible and for at times the pressure upon you where you can't do as friends might do, you have to be obedient in the smallest details. When it's time to not text, you don't text, don't speed. Do your homework on time. Be an A student. All these things are required of you. But you know what, though?
You have to know this. He never asks anything that he doesn't already know that he's put in us and knows that we have the ability. And you do. Not only highly intelligent, great in academics, you have to be a young woman who goes fully through college toward her master's degree. You got to work this out with parents, pastor, and all this. But you are destined to be highly educated. You must. If you want to do a doctor or lawyer, you have the open door for those things. The Lord will provide the money. But you must. And this is how the Lord's arranged it. How Esther had no idea that the Lord was planning to put her in a place of influence. She had no idea. How is that possible? She has no idea. But she has this incredible strength and integrity. And she is an orphan. If anybody deserved to be angry, it was her. But she's nothing but fully His, as we sang tonight. And so you have to know the Lord is working these things within you. Sometimes the pressure, just sometimes it seems like you don't have as much fun as someone else. Or this one, or that one gets to date now, and you can't. And all these things, it's because of what the Lord is doing. Please know this. Even the smallest sacrifice that any one of us will do, including you, He will bring such greatness to your life out of even the smallest sacrifice. So don't look at it as so much a sacrifice, even though it is. Understand that God is maneuvering you to be a woman of influence. I mean, I'm talking about government agencies. I'm talking about people that are highly influential in our nation, our world. That's where He's planning to set you. That's why the absolute need for to be educated and working hard, top of your class, all the hard work, and others get to do whatever they want to do, it's not going to be like that for you. Understand it. But girl, the reward will be so valuable. The Lord's already planning future with love, home, marriage, all those things. Listen, it's already arranged. I see the dude's a stud. A stud. A stud. So just chill out, man. Don't be graveling around some of these other folks, these other people, dudes. The dude's a absolute stud. Be familiar with Esther's book. Be familiar with her life. Just don't read it as some abstract person in history. Read it as a story in today's world, in today's time. It's you. Page 30. Let me just go draw back a little bit, right? We got to go. All right? My brother right there. Yeah, what's your name? Eric? Derek. Good. Dude, listen, this is all good stuff. I think you want to hear. I think you want to know how the Lord sees you. I really do, and I love that. But my friend, listen, it's cool. But God is really drawn near to you too. Whatever you do in this plane, I don't know all the leaders. I know we sat together. I saw them out here. But the Lord is really marking you as a young man that wills and must stand out amongst his peers. You know what that means. It doesn't mean taller, better looking, better athletic, bigger mouth, cooler. Those are all good things, and I think you should have the whole package. You got quite a bit of packaging. You do, dude. You really do. You can really talk. I know you can. You're super smart, though, even though you wouldn't let people know that. But you do. The Lord's really built within you. Within you is a great young man that has great, great potential. And so the Lord is really coming, even with my encouragement to you tonight, by the word of the Lord, that He's really drawn near to you to cause you to come toward Him in just a greater way, in a greater dimension. You're feeling it. You're knowing it's true. You know, it's not easy, though. Sometimes it's, even now at my age and my relationship with Him, He's always wanting me to draw closer. Sometimes like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of liking where I am. I don't know if I'll. But I've made that step. I said, okay. I'm in. Okay, I'm in. See, you got to have some courage. You got to have some game for that. You got to have some bravery for that. You got to. It doesn't mean I walk around with all and my other friends go, look at me. Oh, it's never that. But what I know, though, it's He I can trust. And so, dude, He wants to come, listen, through your life, alter your entire family. That's the most amazing thing. Not just your family, but the influence is greater. There's a lot of things I see in the future I'm not going to say anything about. Because it's going to be you that's going to make the decisions. You hear, you're good at that. What Pastor Travis has said, what Brittany has said, you've heard things said. You know. And so this word comes to let you know that the Lord isn't watching like this. He's more watching like this. Let's do this thing. God will alter your entire family through your life. You move in His direction. You take steps toward Him, and He will cause things in your own family and home that nobody but Him can change. Without me saying a thing about it, it's incredible. Can you imagine? He selected you out of your family for you just to simply believe. All the young men I talked about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, Abraham, Noah, all these men, even young men like David and Samuel, young men, can you believe that they made a decision toward God that altered their entire family? What an honor. What an opportunity. It's yours. Stand with me, please. Would you mind just doing one thing for me? Now, I'm a Patriots fan, so, you know, I'm out of the Super Bowl. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not over the top, though. No shirts, no caps, none of that. I'm from New England, so I gotta be part of that. My wife's a New York Giant fan. Yeah. But, I love my Carolina people. Sorry about the Redskins, sorry about the Ravens, sorry. Well, they didn't do that well, though. They did. Oh, I'm happy for them. I did, I am. I'm happy for them, I am. Yeah, I am. And but I also like Denver, so I kind of like everybody, but you know, whatever. The idea is this, though. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like this. I was like this 2 weeks ago. Oh, there's a Denver fan. Good. I was like this 2 weeks ago, and then because of you, I was like this. But I still love you guys. I just want you to do this. I want a prayer of prayer. Could you mind just doing this? Come on. If it was a game, you would do this. I got to do this. I do it in the mall. They just think I'm stretching. All right, here it is. It's this, all right? Here it is. My prayer. Father, tonight, strengthen us to believe You. Let this group lay hands upon the sick. Let this group believe, even if no one else believes. Let this be the start of the world being turned upside down, that Jesus Christ might be known again. I thank You for that. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry.